Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up today on the first part of today's program, we're going to talk about the elections and everything you need to know about voting in the November 3rd election. And soon we'll be joined by Craig Latimer, who's a supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County. Later on, we'll talk about the diagnosis of the president. He's come down with he's tested positive for COVID-19, and we'll talk with hear some of the reporting that's been done on that first. But the deadline to register to vote in the November 3rd election is this coming Monday, so we figured this would be a good time to talk with Craig Latimer, who's the supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County, and he joins us on the phone right now. Craig, welcome back to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Thank you. Pleasure.
So let me ask you about Monday's deadline. If I'm not registered to vote, what do I need to do by Monday?
Yeah, simple process. Go online. Go to votehillsborough.org. Look for that registration button, and you can register right online. You have to have a Florida driver's license or a Florida ID card and know the last four of your social. If you don't have access to a computer, you can register on a hard paper, as we call it. You can get it at any of our four offices. You can get it at libraries when they're open. Get that registration in. You're right. Monday, the 5th, is the last day to register to be eligible to vote in the upcoming November 3rd presidential general election.
What's your sense of the interest in this election? Are you seeing a lot of new registrants in Hillsborough County?
We've had a steady stream of new registrants. Matter of fact, we were looking at some numbers the other day, and I know at the presidential or at the primary election itself, we were looking at the turnout from 2016 compared to 2020. And in that time period, we had added 90,000 new voters over those 4 years. So we're continuing to see the numbers go up right now. A lot of organizations are out there trying to push registration, and we are too. You know, get the word out. Get registered if you want to participate. If you don't participate, you know, you're not going to be accountable.
And what's the deadline to request a mail-in ballot?
Yeah, that's October 24th. But I got to tell you, if you're going to get a vote-by-mail ballot, get it now. Additionally, you can go on my website, votehillsborough.org, look for vote-by-mail. You can request it right there. And, you know, the beauty of vote-by-mail, the voter's really in control because you can track that ballot back to my office. You can opt in for a service that we have also with a cell or an email. And we'll actually text your email and let you know your ballot has been received by my office. But, you know, you're able to go online and look at this information, see when your vote was received, see when your vote was counted. It's a great process, and the voter has a lot of control over it.
And when do those mail-in ballots have to be returned to your office in order to be counted?
Yeah, Florida doesn't recognize a postmark, so those ballots have to be in the supervisor's office by 7 p.m. on Election Day, November 3rd. They've got to be in the office.
And let's say I don't have a postage stamp. In Hillsborough County, do you provide free postage for people on their mail-in ballots?
I do. We've done that for about 10 years now. And there's some other surrounding counties that are also doing it this year, too.
All right. So Monday is the deadline to register to vote for the big November 3rd election. We're talking with Craig Latimer, who's the supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County. So, Craig, the president is urging his supporters to show up at the polls and poll watch. Sometimes his supporters carry guns. There's a lot of angry people out there. What are the rules for people who might just want to observe at a precinct on election day? What are the rules governing people that might want to, you know, watch the process?
Yeah, the law is very specific. First off, the only people that are allowed in a polling room are my poll workers, voters, and credentialed poll watchers. And I say credentialed because to be a watcher or a poll watcher, you must first be designated by a candidate or a party. And your name has to be submitted to our office. We actually verify that you're a registered voter in the county. And then we do issue a credential stating who you are and who you're doing poll watching for. So somebody can't just come in off the street and say they want to go inside and watch what's going on. And additionally, you know, we've got this 150-foot no-solicitation zone where nobody can approach a voter and do any campaigning of any type within 150 feet. And a lot of times that actually takes in the parking area, too. We have poll deputies that will be out watching for things like this. And, you know, we're not going to hesitate to contact law enforcement if there's a disruption or a problem. There's numerous laws around the orderly business that goes on at a polling site.
And typically the parties themselves have their official people watching at polls. Is that what happens?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, poll watchers, they're in there watching to make sure that basically my people are doing their job right, that they're being fair, transparent, and doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And we don't have a problem with that. You know, we actually give them our training so that they, you know, can see what our poll workers are doing, so there's not a surprise to them or they wonder why they do something some way. But, you know, the poll watchers have been around. The parties will also have voter protection people outside the polling sites. You know, there are going to be a lot of watching on both sides.
Well, we're talking about the elections with Craig Latimer, who's the supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County. Craig, a lot of people are wondering about mail-in balloting and voting in person. Which gets counted first on election night? Do you count the in-person votes, or do you count the mail-in votes, or how does that work?
Yeah, you know, in Florida, we've had no excuse vote by mail since 2002, and traditionally, over a third of our voters have voted by mail. The legislature's put some great laws around this for both safety and security, but additionally, one of the laws is that my office can begin processing vote-by-mail ballots 22 days before the election. So on election night, when the canvassing board tells us to pull the results up and push them out, the very first results you're going to see are vote-by-mail, everything we've got up to election day, and also early voting. And then the precincts will start rolling in. So, you know, Florida's got an opportunity to be a shining star here on election night, and it's because we do have some great laws around vote-by-mail that we're going to be reporting a lot of unofficial results on election night. And I would remind people that they are unofficial, and they'll continue to be unofficial for about 12 days after the election, because you can cure a signature issue, a no signature or signature difference, up to 2 days after the election. If you vote a provisional ballot, you've got up to 2 days after the election to make any corrections on that. So we're going to continue to see votes come in after election day. It won't be a lot, but there will be votes continue to come in, and that's one of the reasons that they're not official. They're still unofficial because votes continue coming in.
Are overseas ballots treated differently than domestic ballots? That is, that if I postmark my ballot from overseas and it gets here 2 or 3 days after the election, do you still count it?
That is correct. The overseas military and civilian, additional service to them, is as long as their ballot is postmarked by election day, then that will be accepted up to 10 days after the election in a federal race. But, you know, don't confuse that with the stateside voter. Postmarks aren't recognized for stateside voters.
Okay. Now, we are getting some email questions, and this one goes to signatures. Eric writes, is there a way to update your signature online or through a state website, or do I have to call you directly? Eric says, I believe there was some type of form you needed to fill out and resubmit an updated signature. What if your signature has changed over the years?
Yeah, we constantly tell people, update your signature. And one of the things that I tell people, and Eric's right on, you can do it online. If you go online and update your registration, update your signature, it actually pulls your signature in from your driver's license. So if you ever forget how to sign your name, all you have to do is look at your driver's license. You can also update it on the regular paper application. And we urge people to do that. If you're voting by mail, do it now if you want to update your signature. But you know what? You also, there's a remedy if for some reason that signature doesn't match or you forget to sign it. That's one of the reasons we're asking for optional information on the back of that envelope. We'd like a cell number, email, some way to rapidly get in touch with you. So if there's a problem, we're going to contact you immediately. There's an oath that you fill out, and then you just need to give us a copy of one of the acceptable forms of ID along with it, and you have cured your signature problem.
And can I cure my signature after the election?
Up to 2 days after the election.
Okay.
You got 48 hours after the election to cure your signature.
And you want to make sure that people sign their ballots as they mail them in to you. If they're voting by mail, make sure you sign the envelope on
and date it.
And date it, okay.
Sign it and date it. And we're seeing a real quick turnaround for the post office on these two. You know, I've already mailed out almost 385,000 ballots. We started mailing them out last Thursday, and I've already got back well over 50,000 ballots.
And is that a better pace than ever, or is, how does that compare to previous years?
It actually is right on target to be on pace. So we're okay with it. But you know, that number is going to continue to increase, and I think that we're going to see it go ahead then.
Craig, we're getting a lot of email questions. Do you have some time? I've got at least 10 questions here. Jeff writes this: I'm new to the area. I requested a mail-in ballot, and I received the mail-in ballot. I'm not sure if I'm registered, though. If I just mailed it in, will it count, or must I check to see if I am registered, writes Jeff.
And again, in Florida, great system. Only a registered voter can request a vote by mail ballot. You must be a registered voter to be able to even request that ballot, or you won't be getting one. But he can also go on the website. If he's one of my voters, go to votehillsborough.org or go to whatever county supervisor of elections he lives in. You can look yourself up. Make sure your information is correct. Make sure your address is correct. Make sure you're registered in the party you think you're registered in. Check your information. Verify it. We've been telling people this because there's a lot of text messages and emails that are going out about, you may not be registered, and you start questioning yourself. Well, go on my website, look yourself up, and make sure you're registered.
We're talking with Craig Latimer, the supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County. This next person is anonymous. They say, is there some way to get a new mail-in ballot? I accidentally got mine slightly wet, and I'm worried that the text may have been smeared. If not, can I go to vote in person if I've already received a mail-in ballot?
If you've received a mail-in ballot and haven't turned it in yet, yes, you can go vote in person. It's not a problem at all. You're only going to be allowed to vote once. You go vote in person, it's going to cancel that vote by mail ballot. If there's a problem with your ballot, you can contact your supervisor of election. They'll issue another ballot and cancel the first one. So whatever he feels comfortable with, he can do that. But yes, we will give you another ballot. You know, that's the other point. If you vote in person, you've got a problem or a question, there's a poll worker there to help you. If you're voting at home, voting by mail, my office is your poll worker. Call us, ask us your questions. We certainly want to help you and make sure that your vote counts.
And what's that phone number for folks that want to just write it down now?
Yeah, in Hillsborough County, it's 813-744-5900. If you live in other counties, look up your supervisor of election. They'll have a website, and their phone number will be available.
Craig, you're very popular, getting a lot of emails here. Dennis writes this: are the credential requirements the same in Pinellas County as they are in Hillsborough County?
Every county. That's state law. Every county in the state follows the poll watcher laws and credentialing and tells us exactly how to do it.
Brian West Tampa writes, my family received our absentee ballot on Saturday, and my wife's envelope was not sealed, and the ballot ID number was partially printed on the outside of the envelope. Has anyone else reported this to your office? I just want to make sure that voters look closely at their mail ballots when you receive them before returning them. We contacted the supervisor's office, and they are voiding the ballot and sending a new one, writes Brian in West Tampa.
Exactly what we just said for, I believe it was the last one that had a problem. You know, we'll issue another ballot. We're totally technology here. These ballots are all put together on a large, ReliaVote machine. And so, apparently it didn't seal that one right. But we're putting out 385,000 ballots. We haven't had, a handful of issues that I've heard of.
Now, Suzanne writes, does he notify people about provisional ballot mistakes? And I'm reading that exactly as she wrote it.
The only time you're really going to vote a provisional ballot is when you vote in person. And there can be several reasons. The first one, maybe you forgot your ID. We're not going to turn you away because you forgot your ID. We're going to let you vote a ballot, and then it goes into a provisional envelope. You have to fill out information on that envelope about yourself, and you have to sign it. So the first thing we do is compare that signature against the signature we have on file. Matches, you don't have to do anything else. The reason that people fill out provisional ballots is, A, they're not registered to vote, or we can't find them in the system. So it's kind of an insurance policy. We're not turning people away. We're going to let you vote that provisional, and then that gives my office more time to do in-depth search to make sure that you are in fact a registered voter and that you're voting at election day, that you're voting at the polling site in the precinct you reside in that we have on record. That's really the only reasons that people would have to vote a provisional ballot.
Let me ask you about what's happening in Manatee County. Today it was reported that a man in Manatee County requested a mail-in ballot in his late wife's name, and apparently he got the ballot, but he was arrested. So what mechanism is there in Hillsborough County to prevent people from obtaining a mail-in ballot in the name of someone else?
There's a state law right off the bat. And, you know, we've got signatures on file of voters. So if somebody's trying to request a vote-by-mail ballot for somebody else and the signature's not matching, there's a problem. Right off the bat, there's a problem. I happen to see that article, too. And I'm familiar with that statute. And you can't request a ballot for somebody else. And, it's kind of interesting. The gentleman said that he was testing the system, and I guess he found out it worked pretty good.
I don't believe
he got that ballot, by the way, though, Rob. I think that the Manatee Supervisor's Office caught it when the request came in because they were looking at the signatures on it.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I misspoke. Mike Bennett's office probably caught it. What's the penalty for voting illegally?
So it's a felony. It's a third-degree felony. If you actually try and vote twice, it can be a third-degree felony. That's what, you know, covers most of the things. If you vote by mail, you see that oath that's right on there that says you're not going to attempt to vote again. Mm-hmm. And if you do, you know, you could be subject to the penalty of a felony. The same way with the incident that you're just talking about, that's a felony to do that.
Craig Latimer is our guest. Craig, if you just tell me when you got to go. The emails are piling up, so you could be here all day, and I don't want you to do that. But
I think I'm good for a few more.
All right, just tell me when you got to go, because I know that you're like Santa Claus, and this is Christmas time. Sue writes this: I'm currently in Costa Rica, and I'm registered to vote in Hillsborough County. I have downloaded and printed out my ballot for the upcoming election. I plan to fax in the ballot, but I hope to be able to return to Tampa the week prior to the election. Will I be able to participate in early voting if I bring my computer-printed ballot with me to Tampa, writes Sue?
As long as you don't cast that ballot and don't fax it back to me. If you fax that back to me, then you voted. And that's the end of it. You won't be able to vote in person. But a good little point, too, let's just point out that overseas voters, we can mail them a ballot, fax them a ballot, or email them a ballot. They can only return it, however, by mail or by fax. And it also has the oath that they have to sign with it, too. So that's very popular that a lot of our overseas voters take the opportunity. We'll email them a ballot and they'll fax it back. Matter of fact, it's kind of exciting for us. We might email it at 1 in the afternoon, and by 4 or 5 that afternoon, our international fax machine starts humming and ballots start coming back in. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, here we go, we're on. If you fax that ballot back to me, then you voted. As soon as it hits my office, you're considered to have voted. If you don't send it back to me, yes, you can go vote in person. There's not a problem at all. Anybody that has a vote-by-mail ballot, as long as they don't vote it, they can go vote in person.
So once you vote, then your name is automatically registered in your computers as saying this person voted.
That is correct.
Yeah.
And the same way, if you go in and vote, we're going to check you in. As soon as we check you in, you voted. And if you try and drop a vote-by-mail ballot, then we're not going to accept it because it's going to show that you've already cast your vote.
Bill in Jacksonville writes, I've already sent in my mail-in ballot, as I always do this time. However, I put my right thumbprint after my signature, writes Bill in Jacksonville. Not sure why he did it, but he says he put his right thumbprint after his signature. So he signed it and left a thumbprint. Not sure why he did
that. Yeah, we don't have fingerprints on file, and we don't compare fingerprints.
All right. So Tim writes this. How do we identify a valid poll watcher when I go to vote in person, asks Tim.
Right. So we issue a credential to them that they literally have to wear around their neck. It has to be visible to be able to see it. It has the poll watcher's name on it and other information. It also, in our county, it says, I'm not allowed to talk to voters. Which they aren't. They can only communicate with the clerk that's running that polling site.
Kevin's in Avon Park. This is a question that you already answered, but maybe we can repeat it just once. Kevin says, how soon can you count the mail-in ballots? I would rather my vote was counted on or even before Election Day. I fear a delayed count will only make it easier to challenge the reliability of the count. Does Florida allow you to start counting them before Election Day? Kevin in Avon Park.
And yes, Kevin, by law, we can begin processing, counting those vote-by-mail ballots 22 days before the election. And actually, the governor signed an executive order that extended that a little bit, where the counties could start processing them and counting them after they conduct their public logic and accuracy test, which we've done, by the way. But we'll begin the 22 days is when we'll probably start.
James in St. Pete asks if we have a secrecy sleeve as they do in Pennsylvania.
We do have a secrecy sleeve, but there's no mandate that you must put your ballot in that secrecy sleeve or it won't be counted.
All right. Peter writes this, I delivered my ballot to a drop box yesterday. How can I check to see whether it's been received?
Go online, whatever county you did it in. If you were in Hillsborough County, go to votehillsborough.org, go to the vote by mail area, put your information in, and it should tell you if it was received. You can also opt in with a cell number or an email address, and we'll text you or email you and let you know that it's been received.
Let me just ask you one more question. When does early voting begin in Hillsborough County, and where can I find the locations for early voting?
Early voting in Hillsborough County begins October 19th and runs straight through November 1st, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Go on my website, votehillsborough.org. You can find all 26 early voting locations, and we also have a wait time on there. You can see if there's a wait time or not. We've got a stoplight system to show you that.
Usually, in your experience, are there long lines at the early voting sites?
You know, what I've encouraged people to do, if you're going to early vote, come the first week. Don't wait till the last weekend because you will be in line. I can tell you that historically, the last 4 days of early voting in my county are the busiest days, and they start progressing. You know, Thursday's big, Friday's bigger than Thursday, Saturday's bigger than Friday, and then Sunday beats them all.
All right, so October 19th, which is a Monday, that's the start of early voting. Craig, the website again for Hillsborough County for voting is?
VoteHillsborough.org.
Craig Latimer, thank you so much. Thanks for coming on WMNF.
Thanks for the opportunity to get trusted information out.
Thank you, Craig. Great to talk to you.
All right,
take care. Bye-bye. Craig Latimer is the supervisor of elections in Hillsborough County. Well, you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. I'm Rob Lurie, and you're tuned in to Community Radio. Cindy Philpott is our phone producer today. We're going to open up the phone lines in just a moment and take your phone calls at 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. I will not be able to answer questions like Craig did. If you have a question for your local supervisor of elections, every county has its own supervisor of elections office, and you can call the county that you're in. Just do a quick search for supervisor of elections in Polk County or Citrus or Pasco or Manatee or Pinellas or Sarasota, and the number will come up when you do that search. As we learned overnight, President Trump has been tested positive for coronavirus, according to the White House and according to a presidential tweet this morning. Here is a report from the Associated Press.
President Trump's coronavirus diagnosis comes after one of his top aides fell ill. An administration official says Hope Hicks started to feel mild symptoms on Air Force One Wednesday night. It's unclear why it took so long for the president to get tested after that and why he and other aides continued traveling. The president was in New Jersey for a fundraiser yesterday, potentially exposing attendees to the virus. As for where he and Hicks may have caught the virus, the president suggested to Fox News Channel's Hannity last night somebody in the military or law enforcement may have spread it.
They want to hug you and they want to kiss you because we really have done a good job for them. And you get close and things happen.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
Now, President Trump is 74 years old. That puts him at a higher risk of serious complications from a virus that's now killed more than 205,000. It's almost up to 210,000 people nationwide that the virus has killed. Now, the president is reporting, according to the White House, mild symptoms. We haven't seen the president so far come out. His chief of staff was out early today. on the White House lawn saying that the president did give him some orders. So we know he's conscious, not in the hospital apparently. But what do you think about the diagnosis of President Trump with coronavirus? The issue came up of masks, and mask safety came up during the debate on Tuesday night. And let's listen to the exchange between Chris Wallace, the moderator, and President Trump, and Joe Biden.
Are you questioning
the efficacy of masks? No, I think masks are okay. You have to understand, if you look, I mean, I have a mask right here. I put a mask on, you know, when I think I need it.
Trump, you have begun to increasingly question the effectiveness of masks as a disease preventer. And in fact, recently you have cited the issue of waiters touching their masks and touching plates. Are you questioning
the efficacy of masks? You have to understand, if you look, I mean, I have a mask right here. I put a mask on, you know, when I think I need it. Tonight, as an example, everybody's had a test and you've had social distancing and all of the things that you have to. But
just
I wear masks when needed. When needed, I wear masks.
Okay, let me ask.
I don't wear masks like him. Every time you see him, he's got a mask. He could be speaking 200 feet away from it. He shows up with the biggest mask I've ever seen.
Masks make a big difference. His own head of the CDC said if we just wore masks between now, if everybody wore masks in social distance between now and January, we'd probably save up to 100,000 lives. It matters.
And they've also said the opposite.
No serious person said the opposite.
Dr. Fauci said the opposite.
We got a minute left in this segment.
Masks are not good. Then he changed his mind. He said masks are good. I'm okay with masks.
And the president really got that wrong, but that is not what Dr. Fauci was getting at when he suggested early on that if too many people ask for masks, we'll have a shortage. That was really the point that Dr. Fauci was making early on. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. The president, although he's been diagnosed with positive for coronavirus, he has had a lot of skepticism about the actual disease. This is what a few of the things he said.
You're going to have to take that off, Liz. You can take it off. How many feet are you away?
I'll speak a lot louder.
Well, if you don't take it off, you're very muffled.
You know, you're not allowed to have a political rally for more than 10 people. You're not allowed to go to church. You're not allowed to meet. You're not allowed to talk to anybody. You have to stay in a prison. Your home has become your prison.
I say it, and I'll say it all the time. We're rounding the corner. And very importantly, vaccines are coming, but we're rounding the corner regardless.
Some of what the president has said about coronavirus and masks. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Now, David sent this email in. He says, did you see Michael Moore's very long post on Facebook today about Trump and the virus? Michael Moore thinks that Trump is lying about the virus to gain sympathy. It kind of makes sense, writes David, since Trump is a compulsive liar, gaslighter, and professional victim, writes David. Well, we have the president's tweet. We have a statement by his chief of staff, and that's what we've got so far. And we'll find out. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Katira in Palm Harbor. Hi, Katira. You're on WMNF. What's up?
Yes. I was actually, first of all, calling to see if anybody else has received their mail-in ballot in Palm Harbor. Haven't received one yet, so I'm starting to get worried. And the only other thing I was going to say is that, I don't know. I don't think home is like prison, you know. It's a lot different than prison to stay home. But that's just my opinion, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people that have suggested that wearing masks or the shutdown is repressive, but how many people have been arrested or fined because they don't wear a mask or because they don't stay at home? Really, the government has run this thing very lightly and not in an oppressive way.
Yeah, I have COPD, and I'm just trying not to go anywhere, and I wear a mask, and, you know, it's just protection, you know?
Yeah. So. Katira, thanks a lot. Thank you. And okay. Call your election supervisor about your ballot.
Yes, I don't have a computer, so I don't know the number. That's the problem. But maybe it'll come in the mail today.
Okay. Well, I will try, as I'm taking these phone calls, to look up the Pinellas Supervisor of Elections office. It's really easy to find. So, Katira, thanks a lot. In a few minutes, we'll announce it, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Katira. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, what would you like to say?
Good morning, Rob. A friend, this lady that you said that, Michael Moore said that, a friend of mine suggested that yesterday. And I said, do you think so?
He goes, well, yesterday he wasn't right diagnosed, though.
Yeah, I know it. I mean, if that were true, you know how many people would get in trouble if they found out about that? And then, no, he's got it. I'm sure he's got it, and hope he has it. I heard this morning on Democracy Now! Where maybe we don't know if he gave it to her. Who knows? Maybe he's been asymptomatic already, but I don't know.
Yeah, this is all speculation. I don't think it helps us out.
No, not at all. But I'll tell you what, after the song Instant Karma was fitting this morning. I hate to say it after the Amy Goodman show. You know, after all the things you said about Joe Biden, you know, making fun of him wearing a mask and all that, one can just sit back and say, you know, I told you so. But the thing is, I don't want to see any harm come to him. I want to beat him in the election. Basically, that's all, you know, so I hope his health gets better. But I'll tell you what, I agree. Let me leave you with this. Naomi Klein this morning on Democracy Now! Said that, he always talks about his jeans at the rallies, you know, by the way, that's a Cold War II that was very popular with the Hitler crowd. But do you know that jeans, right, and all the jeans that he has, and it goes to show you that those jeans really didn't help. She said, you know, exactly what she said there, I don't know if you heard it this morning, but I can't think of the rest of it. It was a great line where about his jeans, you know, that.
All right, well, I'll go back. I listened to part of it. I was working too.
Yeah,
Danny, thanks a lot. And I hear you're saying that you wish the president the best. They hadn't identified genes during Hitler's time, so but they did tout the Aryan race. That's what they tended to do. I found it, the Pinellas County Supervisor of Elections phone number. So Katira, here's the number. It is 727-464-8683. That's 727-464-8683. And if you have any questions about voting in Pinellas County, you can call that number. And they've got quite a staff there who can answer your questions. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. The president, for months, downplayed the coronavirus. This is some of what the president has been saying the last few months.
Are the words about a pandemic at this point?
No, we're not at all, and we have it totally under control.
We think we have it very well under control. We pretty much shut it down.
A lot of people think that goes away in April with the heat.
We're in very good shape.
I think it's going to work out fine.
Very well under control in our country.
I think that's a problem that's going to go away.
Because of all we've done, the risk to the American people remains very low.
I mean, view this the same as the flu.
It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
We are working on cures and we're getting some very good results.
We only have 15 people and they're getting better.
Now the Democrats are politicizing the coronavirus. And this is their new hoax.
If you're healthy, probably go through a process and you'll be fine.
You take a solid flu vaccine, you don't think that would have an impact or much of an impact on corona?
No.
Some of them go to work, but they get better.
It'll go away.
We're doing very well and we've done a fantastic job.
It will go away. Just stay calm.
We have seen dramatically fewer cases of the virus in the United States than are now present in Europe.
It's going to go away.
1.4 million tests on board next week. And 5 million within a month, I doubt we'll need anywhere near that.
It's something that we have tremendous control of, and I think we're going to win faster than people think, I hope.
Parts of our country are very lightly affected.
You're going to lose a number of people to the flu, but you're going to lose more people by putting a country into a massive recession or depression.
They have to go back to work. I think it's going to happen pretty quickly.
2.2 million deaths. If we could hold that down, as we're saying, to 100,000, it's a horrible number. We all together have done a very good job.
It will go away. You know it. You know it is going away.
We think the death will be at a very low number.
It's going to go away, hopefully, at the end of the month. And if not, it hopefully will be soon after that.
just some of what the president has said over the last few months about COVID-19. Let's go to Miranda, who's in Tampa. Miranda, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind today?
Hi. So I just wanted to say I have been a COVID nurse for the last seven, almost 8 months. My concern is that he'll come out of this relatively unscathed, just because he has access to the medical treatment that most people don't. So a lot of my patients, they have to be very sick, very symptomatic to get convalescent plasma, to get remdesivir. And I'm sure that he's already received those treatments, and his prognosis is much better because of that. And he'll come out and he'll say, it was just the flu. I wasn't that sick. And it'll just kind of further that narrative that it's not that serious.
And Miranda, what does remdesivir do for your patients? What have you seen it do? If your patients have taken it or gotten it, how does it help them?
So the theory, and it still is a trial medication, but it is an antiviral medication. It's best given early, within like the first few days of symptoms, because it prevents the viral load from, or the virus from replicating and producing more severe symptoms. But it essentially is supposed to stop viral mutation.
And is it easy for patients to get it if you're not the president? Is it easy for the...
No.
Why is it not easy?
Because there's such a high demand. It's a very expensive medication. There's not a whole lot of it. So in order for you to be a candidate to get convalescent plasma or remdesivir, you have to be very sick, very symptomatic. We don't just give it to anybody who is sick. You have to be very sick.
But you said it can be given prophylactically in order to reduce the viral load?
Yeah, it works best the earlier that you give it, but because the supply isn't, we don't have a good supply of it, we have to be very judicious in who we prescribe it to.
Miranda, one last question. The president, according to his doctor, is 6'3". He weighs 244 pounds. That means that he has a body mass index of 30.5, which is just mm-hmm. over the threshold for obesity.
Yeah.
In your experience, people who are borderline obese, what's the prognosis for them if they're 74 years old, in your experience?
So, from my experience, it's such a varied presentation. I have had 90-year-olds who are asymptomatic, 70-year-olds who are asymptomatic. I have also had 30 and 40-year-olds who were not obese, who did not have good outcomes.
Okay, so it varies widely by person.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and you know, it depends a lot on what are his other comorbidities. If he has hypertension, it's not good with hypertensive patients. If he has any history of diabetes, and I don't think these are things that we quite know about his health history.
Okay. Miranda, thank you. I'm so glad you're able to make it through our switchboard. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Great information. Bye. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We're talking about the president's diagnosis with COVID-19. There's all sorts of other news going on. One of the big stories that may happen tomorrow is a group of right-wing people plan to go to downtown St. Petersburg and sort of act as police in downtown St. Petersburg. So there have been Black Lives Matter protests in St. Pete for months, and now a group from outside St. Pete plans to confront the Black Lives Matter protesters in St. Petersburg, and that's something that we're going to be covering for the WMNF News, but I just want to raise that too, which is another important issue. Let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Oh, that last caller just humbled me. She was very well versed on all that, and I was just assuming that Trump would be fine because he drank hydroxychlorine at a particular time. I guess what I'm worried about now is what we're hearing from the White House. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to trust that, where they're saying that, oh, Trump may get out of this unscathed and actually tout that he was in excellent shape. They haven't actually had a history of being honest with the American people. I mean, we didn't know about Hope, I forget her name, the young lady, Hope Hicks, is it?
Yeah, Hope Hicks, right.
We didn't hear about her until, we didn't hear about her from the White House. We had to hear about her from an outside source. And by then, they had endangered reporters and White House staff and people like that. I mean, if they're saying right now that Trump has mild symptoms, I'm wondering, it could possibly be worse. You know, because the White House physicians have not had a history of being honest with the American people.
Yeah, we've got a lot of callers this morning and emailers saying they don't trust the White House. All right. Well, Jose, thanks a lot. Thank you for that. A lot of people expressing some skepticism that we can trust the word from the White House. I'll just tell you, Wall Street Journal is reporting that President Trump is showing mild symptoms of COVID-19 but remains on the job. That's according to his chief of staff. Vanity Fair is reporting the president has a cough and fever. The First Lady is said to be asymptomatic. President Trump and the First Lady report mild symptoms according to NPR. And then USA Today is reporting that Barron Trump tested negative for COVID-19, Barron being the president's son, and the RNC chairwoman is positive. So that's what we know so far. Let's go back to the phones, and our phone number is 813-239-9663. Let's go to Ramil in Clearwater. Ramil, what's on your mind today?
Hi. First off, let me say I'm so thankful that Barron is testing negative, and I don't wish ill on any of the parties concerned, but I do have a question. If something should happen to either of the presidential candidates before the election date, but after people have voted in mail-in ballots, what is the legal procedure for how those are counted? Or if after the election date, but before the inauguration, something happens to either of the candidates, because we are still in a pandemic, what is the procedure for who eventually then succeeds in office?
That's a good question. I am not an expert on that. I think the votes would still be counted as of the November 3rd election. The Constitution outlines what would happen after that. And really, that's something I'm really uncomfortable talking about, because okay, I don't have my pocket Constitution in front of me.
Yeah.
So let's just say that I'm sure there's going to be really good articles written in the printed press about that in the next 24 hours. And my suggestion is,
I will look forward to reading it.
Exactly. And I'm not going to try to tell you I know how it would work. Those are all good questions, but let's wait for somebody in the Washington Post, New York Times, a law journal to just kind of describe what's going to go on. Let's go to Charles in Sarasota. Charles, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
I just wanted to call and talk about Antifa for a second. I had heard about it, the movement, and it curious me, so I Googled it. And about the time I went to Google it, one of my friend's sisters from high school, went on Facebook and pointed out the fact that she is an Antifa member. And it kind of struck me weird, so I looked it up, and apparently it started in 1933. Antifa started in 1933, and I'll stand corrected if you got the facts in front of you. But it was started by an anti-Nazi socialist group, and it was there to inform the people about the movement that was right there in front of them. And what they've done, in my opinion, is twisted this around to be exactly what they wanted to project. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people.
What do you mean, twisted it around?
Well, they twist it around and make it look like it is that, in a sense, that it's a radical movement where there are thugs going out and beating people down with baseball bats. In all reality,
who's beating people down?
The Antifa, but they're not. What I've seen, what my opinion of the whole thing, Rob, is that the GOP is sending in thugs to ramp things up, get things going, get heated debate, and then as soon as the cops start showing up, then they all beeline.
Yeah, you know, Charles, I think you're a little bit confused. Antifa basically are anti-fascists. And when they see a white supremacist or white nationalist group that goes to a place like Portland or Berkeley, they stand up to them and say, look, Berkeley, Portland, these are all great places to live. We're very multicultural. We don't want white nationalists here. We don't want you pushing us around. And so they stand up to them. So that's what Antifa is. And you're right. There were people opposed to fascism in the 30s in Germany. And there was a famous group of people, the Lincoln Brigade, who were opposed to fascists in Spain in 1937, 38, and 39. And they were Antifa, and they stood up to Franco. Franco tried to overthrow the democratically elected government of Spain. He was successful. He was a dictator, and he had help from Germany and the Nazis. There are some people that infiltrate. We're going to talk about that next week. By and large, the Antifa are people that when white nationalists come to a town, Antifa gets together, and they're really poorly organized. They're underground, and they stand up to white nationalists. That's what they do. Are there infiltrators? Yes, but that's not who Antifa is for the most part. Let's go to Connie in Tampa. Connie, what would you like to say?
Good morning.
Good morning. What's up?
Yes, sir. I'm very concerned about tomorrow's demonstrations of Black Lives Matter and a group of outsiders. And hopefully these are not just all white angry men coming in to brandish their guns to stroke fear. As we keep on pleading for democracy and justice, as we continue to watch black bodies being brutalized, I'm quite sure St. Petersburg has enough law enforcement officers that if people are not protesting properly to bring notice and attention to that. But for people to think they can throw fear into us because they have guns, we have gone beyond that because we have buried too many. And hopefully goodwill white people will come and say, no, not in our name. No, not at this time, that we unite with the fact that black people are deserving of justice. So tomorrow is going to be a telling history lesson to see what side people are really on. Thank you so very much.
Yeah, thank you, Connie. And Connie's talking about tomorrow night in St. Petersburg, groups of white nationalists are planning to go down there to act as law enforcement against BLM protesters. And the BLM has been marching for months in St. Petersburg, 99.9% peaceful. And now the white nationalists are coming from out of town to confront the Black Lives Matter protesters in St. Petersburg. So, Connie, thank you for that. 813-239-9663. Let me read some of these emails. They've really piled up. Mary writes this. Trump did so poorly at the debate that he does not want another debate, but he doesn't want to be the one to cancel it. When have we ever heard him admitting that he has any type of medical issue, writes Mary in Riverview, having some doubts about the president's diagnosis. And Alita writes this, Marie in St. Petersburg is not sure if it's a hoax or just another lie. I think it's true, but the lie is possible in order to avoid another debate. And in addition to gaining sympathy and can say it's not serious, he lived through it. will likely never know unless he dies, writes Alita. Alita, thank you for that. Kevin writes this, we have 4% of the world's population, yet more than 20% of the world's COVID cases and deaths. How bad at math are the Trumpsters who can't see the obvious failure of Trump as a leader, writes Kevin. And then Peter writes this, I woke to the wonderful news that karma is working. The imbecile impeached occupant of the White House has tested positive for COVID-19. While I wish no one harm, this person merits no quarter or sympathy after being responsible for the unnecessary deaths of hundreds of thousands of Americans, writes Peter. I hope the president recovers, and I hope he does fine, and I hope he gets through this. And if the diagnosis is accurate, if we're getting the accurate picture of it from the White House, let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Andy in Dunedin. Andy, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob. Happy Friday to you and your listeners. A couple of quick comments. I believe to go down and act as a law enforcement officer, you have to actually be a law enforcement officer, licensed, and so forth. You just can't show up and play pretend. And I hope I'm not being redundant. I just jumped in on the conversation. But do we have independent verification of this COVID?
Well, we've got the president's tweet, and we've got a statement from the White House chief of staff.
But Dr. Fauci or somebody like that who we have come to know and trust hasn't spoken up about it yet. Just the timing just seems really weird, and it would be so like Trump to do something like that.
That he would fake his diagnosis?
I wouldn't put it past him.
All right, Andy, thanks a lot.
Thanks
for your thoughts. And let's go to Patty in Sarasota. Patty, what's on your mind today?
Boy, I was surprised, but I was not surprised. And I've always been saying that mere mortals, people, elections, you know, really can't bring him to a reckoning or a humbling. And it's almost as if the hand of God is pulled away. And if this is a true diagnosis, I am praying for, as he would say, like a miracle. I don't know if this is going to change his mind and heart, but it takes a big hammer on some so-called people, and maybe, I'm not going to, you know, bet on it, but I think it's very odd. He's been very cavalier, and I'm going to bet his supporters maybe will start suddenly masking up in defiance for their own health. So I think it's very strange. I think it is reap what you sow, and he brought himself to this. God didn't suddenly afflict him. He set himself up, and it's simply that he was not protected any longer from himself and from what he's doing to us. So I'm just praying there's a turn in the road, because I hate to say it, I feel a relief, like something's working behind the scenes.
All right. Well, Patty, I hope the president gets better, and let's hope that everything goes well. Tommy writes this, I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump is faking that he contracted COVID-19 to get out of the next debate. Is he going to quarantine for 2 weeks and then miraculously come out completely asymptomatic? Is this just another lie? Can we only believe him if he ends up on a ventilator? That's Tommy, who's writing in from somewhere out there. Well, if you want to comment about today's show, please call us at 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and we'll play your comments back on Monday at 11 a.m. Stay tuned for Janelle Irwin. She's coming up next on the Midpoint program, and she has the answer to who would take over if both the candidates got sick and suddenly died before the election. So tune in for Midpoint coming up next. This is 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg. Have a safe weekend, and please come back on Monday and listen to the 11 o'clock radioactivity show. Now stay tuned for Janelle. Yeah.